KRCL champions building a more socially engaged Utah through locally driven programming that promotes music discovery and civic participation. Tune into KRCL on 90.9 FM for a curated mix of music, including at least one track by a Utah artist every hour. From alternative rock to reggae, blues to bluegrass, KRCL is here to bring you the greatest bangers all day, every day.
Are you listening? This is Flux Sound Waves. My name is Polly Llewellyn. I record music under the name Peachy Fingernail. I have a new album coming out this month. It's called I'm Nothing If Not a Silly Girl. It's the first album I've recorded from start to finish. Isn't that nice? My first album, which is named Radishes, was like strung together songs from my last 5 years of recording music on my own. Like, I picked things that sounded good together and kind of lent themselves to the theme I was reaching towards, and then I recorded like a handful more songs to cement the whole thing as much of a piece as it could be. I like to record lo-fi music using like whatever equipment I have like lying around and whatever state of mind I'm in. I have very low professional standards until it's time for people to hear it, and then I get upset about my low standards in recording. I think it all hews pretty closely to the indie and alternative music that are kind of my roots, like, but I grew up on movie soundtracks, and so most of my music has like this tendency to develop in a linear way, where if there are choruses, like they're pretty different from each other, and there aren't usually repeating verse structures, and things end up in a different place, and there'll be like a kind of dramatic chord progression. I feel like there's a lot of like trying my hand at making dramatic sounding music. On my EP, there's a song called, I think I named it Trans Transport, and it's like really indicative of how my music goes. It starts in one place and then it's like illustrating some story that should be being told on top of it, which is funny to me because I just want to make lo-fi pop songs with my garbage equipment, and it always turns out more dramatically than I meant it to be. I think what influences my lyrics and sound and enables like my aesthetics and like makes me want to play guitar and keyboard music is like these bands I listened to as I was getting into music and feeling like at a kind of choke point where like gender and sexuality were really scary things. And these particular artists like had very intimate songs that felt like they could reach through that suffocation of not being able to self-actualize. Like Bjork, Bjork's Vespertine album has this song called Cocoon, which is like so staticky and soft and is as intimate as you're willing to give it your attention and is extremely sexual in such a straightforward as Bjork can be way, where she's like literally saying like, he fell asleep and he was still inside me, as if that was like the most beautiful thing in the world. And that was like crazy to me, especially because a lot of my lyrics are really sexual. I think I'm reaching more for that kind of like enabling and intimate connection rather than like trying to shock people. With my album, the Silly Girl album, like there's kind of an exploration of that sexual / shocking sexual intimacy relationship, where it kind of goes back and forth between like lust and tenderness and heartbreak. And then the second to last song, there's this lyric, I sucked a demon's cock right off and took his cum all in my mouth. I hope I don't see him again. Is kind of like feeling betrayed by sexual intimacy, and that kind of sexual confession lyric is like something that I take enormous comfort in, and it's like a thing I do to like affirm myself because of like growing up Mormon and evangelical, like sex might as well not exist until you're like supposed to get married, and then all of a sudden it does, and it's stupid and like an obligation that they try to like dress up as like a wonderful gift from God. And so like saying sexual things, it feels like so comforting to myself because it's like sex exists, I exist in a relationship with sex. Sex helps me know who I am, and I love it. And then something awful will happen and you'll kind of feel betrayed by it. And I think that's what I was trying to express a little bit. I'm still frustrated. I mean, there's a reason that you make songs about some things because you can't quite figure out how to say it. Where does the gender fit in? I mean, I can, like, I remember watching a video of a live show that Deer Hunter did when they released Cryptograms, where their singer, Bradford Cox, was, like, doing a spoken word thing over an instrumental track, and it was, like, really, really gay. was like, he was telling a childhood experience of like being a friend asking him to watch a porno together and jack off together. And it like made me squirm in my seat with like discomfort. But it was like so thrilling that he was talking about it. And then he started taking his pants off. And he was wearing like a super cheap wedding dress under it. And he's like really lanky. He looks like how I picture myself to be when I'm feeling dysphoric, which isn't, I hope, an insult to him. His limbs are exaggerated and he's really skinny because of Marfan syndrome. And he just looked like how I felt, because that's what dysphoria is. Well, for me at least, I felt like a stretched out person. And it's still hard to like accept that on a lot of levels I am kind of a stretched out person. But that he was like wearing this wedding dress and like inhabiting his own version of femininity was like crazy to me. Like it was earth shattering. And I think I ascribed that moment to so much of Deer Hunter's music, wanting to connect with that ultra queer femme display. It's hard to think of where gender fits when it's so hard to figure out. And like so much repression and self-doubt like kind of make you cast away the things that do explore those ideas for yourself. And so by the time you come out, you're not really even sure how you got there. For me at least, coming out as trans and like accepting that was so difficult was because like I went to a group therapy thing and people were like asking me what my journey was, and I was like, I don't know. Am I supposed to have like a linear made for TV plot line prepared? Like, is that, do I need to have had that to justify being trans? And for some people, like, they do have that. And I'm really happy that they have that clarity of self to realize that. But for me and for a lot of people that I know, like, you just arrive there out of, like, sheer inevitability and you don't understand how or why. And, like, you have to spend, like, the next years, like, slowly combing over who you were and the things that were like those like mile markers on the side of the road that are high enough to like be seen when it snows, looking for those in like a blizzard. It's like so difficult. And like it was like steering you towards this thing, and then you have to like look backwards. It's so silly that we have to do that, but it is also like kind of useful and a little validating to be like, oh yeah, I realized that I was internally transphobic by the time I was 4. Isn't that neat? Hard to be trans and not have like this weird internal mythology of yourself and what it means to be you and how you got there. And so it kind of makes like a weird logical sense to think of your parents and grandparents and family and chosen family as like being in this weird Silmarillion like text. that is not centered on you or your gender, but is like weirdly abstract and esoteric, and you don't know exactly what your place is. You're just kind of mapping out the branches of it all. Following an impulse is so central to how I make music, because I hit record before I figure anything out most of the time. Partly because it's way too hard for me to focus on like remembering something that I've written, and partly because like I know approaching a creative thing with like any kind of organization, or what is it when you kill someone and you meant to?
Murder?
No, like
premeditated murder?
Premeditated, yeah. It's hard to go into something premeditated. So I have to, rather than murder, I have to do manslaughter with my creative work. I like talking about gender experience openly because I struggled so long with not having any trans people to talk to. And I only had like a Hari Neff interview here or like a trans StarCraft player there. And it's hard to build a conception of how you fit into all that without being able to talk to someone who can directly validate you. When I talk to other people, like I really like to be open with them if they're not cis, and or if they have like questions because they're questioning themselves. Like I appreciated my first real trans friend Clementine so much because I was like at work, my heart racing so fast because I couldn't like mathematically prove I was trans enough to myself to justify what I was putting myself through. And being able to tell her my feelings and doubts and anxieties and have her be like, oh yeah, I felt that too, was like, oh, I can be trans. I can be the most trans person on earth and not be able to like balance the equation. So that's why I think it's more useful to think of yourself as like being a part of a weird mythology than like part of a narrative journey, because like a narrative is like an algebra equation, like an arc is an algebra equation, and that's not how being a person works, and that's not how fitting in the world works, and that's not how my gender has worked. And so I like when things work in a esoteric way, a kind of roundabout way. You're about to hear my song called Mary Saw Two Dead Magpies. Later, by the tennis courts at the edge of the cemetery, she saw two deer jump a chain link fence covered in dormant ivy. This is the song that I remember the recording process of the most clearly, because it's the only one built from like a formal intention. I wanted to make a song that sounded like an orchestra warming up with my really cheap keyboard. So it would sound like a bunch of really cheap keyboard voices, like a really gaudy trumpet and a really awful violin sound. And I would try to make it sound really beautiful. But the idea was I would create a track and I would play one note in different octaves for 40 bars. And then I would switch to a different note to play in different octaves irregularly, like just feeling it out. And then after another 40 bars, I would switch to a third note and play that for 40 bars. And so it came out to roughly three chords played in different voicings because the notes are moving all over all the time. So like three really liquidy chords that proceed like mathematically, because it's a song about death and memory. The fact of death is impossible to get over. So that is like such a contrast to living, especially as we've been talking about it as like trans and gender non-conforming people, like learning to live your life outside of what makes logical sense, mathematical sense, is necessary. And then death comes in. Once it happens, your memory of that person becomes an arc. It becomes like this weird equation with a beginning and an end. And a big part of grief is trying to wrestle control away from that equation. And so it was important to me as I was recording. I was like projecting a lot of these feelings into it as I was going, like, oh, this is about death. And the three sections like meant different things to me, and it had to cut off abruptly.
Thank you.
I'm on Twitter at NevadaFace. And I'm on Instagram at PeachyFingernail. No hyphen, no period. I have an EP out called Garden is a Pretty Word, which is just a single and some B-sides. And I'll have an album coming out later this month called I'm Nothing If Not a Silly Girl. Both feature nude artwork. NSFW. If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes.
This month, celebrate 32 years of Slug with a special virtualized show on February 19th at 8 p.m., featuring local bands Herring, Ivories, and the Painted Roses, plus an anniversary sale going all month long with the discount code 32YEARS. Shop at slugmag.com.